seem kind of surprised, Mr. Kendall. Seems like a straightforward enough question to me. Who did kill Peter Slavin? You know yet?
Passage of the Tangmar. The story of a ship and its cargo of death.
If you do know, Mr. Kendall, I'd advise you to tell me. Might save a lot of trouble all around.
It seemed as though the two bells of the afternoon watch came from a long way off. As I stood there looking at Lee Blake, the American who'd revealed his reason for being aboard the Tangmar just 1 hour from port. Ahead of us was a voyage of 8,546 miles. A month at sea at least, allowing that the Tangmar of 6,000 tons cruised at its maximum speed of 12 knots. And aboard the Tangmar, six people vitally concerned with the will of the late Victor Wherryman of Savannah La Mar, Jamaica. And now, Lee Blake, who'd paid for his passage as we were preparing to leave Sydney Harbor, had come up to me as I leaned on the deck rail watching the storm clouds on the horizon.
I guess I've given you an even bigger surprise than I figured on, Kendall. But I know that Peter Slavin was murdered in England nearly 3 months ago.
Have you got a cigarette, Blake? I could do with one.
Yeah, sure. American, all right?
Thanks.
All right?
Yes, thanks. Well, perhaps you better tell me what else you know. Or imagine you know.
Okay. Your name is Dirk Kendall, ex-Merchant Navy Interpol agent. You're serving as first officer on the Tangmar because Colonel Hacking, your superior, arranged it. For this one voyage, to find the killer of Peter Slavin and protect the lives of the five beneficiaries who are aboard. Six, if we count Major Challenger's daughter.
And you, Blake?
I'm not a guy who goes to sea because he likes to travel.
I gathered that. Just why are you aboard?
Colonel Hacking thought it might be a good idea. In case you got into any trouble.
I don't have any way of checking that, do I?
Well, you'll have to take my word for it.
When did you see Hacking?
2 weeks ago, in London.
But I thought...
That I'd been living in Sydney for some time? Yes, Hacking arranged that. An obliging hotelier and bank manager. After all, I didn't want Captain Goddard to know that I'd just left England.
So you're with Interpol yourself?
No, I'm not.
Well, are you a private detective or something?
No.
Then what?
My father owns the Tangmar. If there's going to be trouble aboard, I want to protect our interests.
Oh, of course, Blake. The Blake Shipping Company. But how come Goddard doesn't know you?
Well, he's always dealt with the old man. Until now, I've kept well away from the family business, but with the death of Slavin, my father decided it was time I showed some interest.
So you went to see Hacking?
I was carted off to see him, pretty forcibly. Scotland Yard didn't like the idea of an American snooping around asking questions. So I was duly ushered into that dingy office of Hacking's and told to keep my nose clean.
Very politely, I'm sure.
Oh, very. However, after I'd told my story and why I was interested, Colonel Hacking decided I might as well put my enthusiasm to some use and in the process of looking after the family interests, keep a watchful eye on one Dirk Kendall.
Have you met the other passengers?
I've seen them. I've met Major Challoner.
Well, you want your identity kept secret, of course.
I do. I'm simply Lee Blake, a Yank with itchy feet. But I'll be on hand if you need me, Kendall. Remember that.
I will. It's nice to have you aboard, Blake.
Oh, by the way, I've got one piece of news for you. Dr. Martin Lawler was in England at the same time Slavin was killed, attending a medical conference. See you around, Dick.
Mr. Kendall, isn't it considered polite for the captain to join the passengers on the first night out, at least?
Well, Captain Goddard asked me to make his apologies. He's taking the first watch. I relieve him at 8. But Miss Challoner, isn't your father joining us for dinner?
He's, well, not feeling awfully well.
Yeah, touch of seasickness, eh? Poor cow. Like me to go down afterwards and cheer him up, miss?
You're very kind, Mr. Miller, but... Well, thanks all the same.
Ben, that's the name. Call me Ben, miss. Oh. After some of the food I've eaten in my time, this is all right. This is good. Hey, talking of that, where's the little bloke?
Who?
Tucker. He's seasick too? Ah, talk of the devil. Come and sit down, Mr. Tucker.
Please, all of you. The name is Tucker. I do wish you'd try to remember that.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter what they call you as long as they got your name spelt right in the old bloke's will. That's the main thing as far as I'm concerned.
You're a man after my own heart, Mr. Miller. You're concerned only with the essentials. Mr. Kendall, how long will we be at sea?
At least a month. We'll water and bunker at Papeete and stop over at Panama, of course.
There is one thing I do not understand. Why was it so necessary that we travel like this together?
Miss Chaloner, that was made quite clear in the letter from Jamaica. After all, who are we to argue with the eccentricities of such a very generous man as Mr. Wherryman? I do wish I could remember where I met him.
Yeah, me too. Why would a complete stranger up and leave me all that beautiful money? Should be more of it, of course.
My father remembers meeting Mr. Wherryman in India in 1933. Daddy was a subaltern in the Khyber Rifles. Mr. Wherryman came to the mess.
That the only time they met?
Yes, I think so.
Well, what did your old man do for him? Must have been something pretty worthwhile. No, that doesn't follow. I don't remember ever doing anything for anyone. Certainly not for any stranger.
I have no memory of this man either. And I always remember the man that I have known.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I'd better be getting on my way. Next 4 hours are mine.
Oh, but it's only 7:30.
Well, I'm relieving the skipper at 8 bells.
Before you go, Mr. Kendall, I should like to ask you one question. According to the letter I received from Jamaica, there were to be 6 of us who were going to share in Mr. Wherryman's will. However, there appears to be only 5 of us.
Mr. Tucker, Tuca, perhaps the captain can tell you.
But there are 6 of us.
No, Miss Fedorov. I'm only traveling with my father.
Oh, how interesting. Then, if there are only 5 of us to share everything, we'll be better off, won't we?
Oh, how?
Well, don't you remember the letter you received, Mr. Miller? Oh, that letter is engraved on my heart. Should any one of us fail to arrive in Jamaica on the Tangmar, then that person forfeits his or her share. So already we are all even richer than we thought.
Yeah, well, if you'll excuse me.
Does that sound callous, Mr. Kendall?
Well, it's not my place to say, Miss Fedorov, but I think it could have been better put.
I wonder why it is that men look so much more attractive when they frown. Steward, may I have some more coffee, please? Black?
Certainly, madam.
And, Steward, I would like to stand the spoon in it. Thank you.
Oh, could we talk of something else, please? I dislike thinking we might be talking lightly of someone who's dead.
What? Who?
Why, that missing person. The person who did not come aboard. We should respect the dead.
How the heck do you work out he's dead?
Is there any other reason that could prevent a man sailing to collect his share of a fortune?
Perhaps he couldn't be located. In time, I mean.
Miss Chaloner, that's a much nicer way to put it. But for me, the fact that he or she is not here is the important thing.
Hey, what's up with you, Tuca?
Tuca, please.
Well, what is it? You're sitting there looking as if the world had come to an end. Nothing to be morbid about. Yeah, just eat your dinner and be thankful. Might have been you, Mr. Bag. Then you would have something to complain about.
Of course, catching the boat was not everything. The letter said we all had to arrive in the ship.
Miss Fedorov.
Why do you say it like that?
Oh, don't look so alarmed. I will be more than happy with my share. I'm only quoting the letter, that's all. It would be a pity to have come this far and then not arrive.
Your coffee, madam.
Oh, thank you.
I don't think I feel hungry after all. I think I'll go up to my cabin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Pardon me, Dr. Lawler. Excuse me, not feeling at all well.
Well, what's wrong with Mr. Tuca?
Oh, I should not worry, Doctor. He is nervous, I think. I somehow think that to guarantee his arrival in Jamaica, he will lock himself in his cabin.
Miss Fedorov, he's such a frightened little man. Was there any need to make him more so?
No, it amused me.
Steward, am I too late? I'm afraid I took 40 winks.
No, sir, it's perfectly all right.
Doctor, we were just talking about this Victor Wherryman. Did you ever meet him?
I'll have the beef, thanks, Steward.
Right, sir.
Yes, I met him a long time ago, though. In fact, I operated on him back in 1937. Hadn't any option, really. A little place called Wilton in Yorkshire. My first practice, you know. I was as nervous as a kitten. I'd have taken him into York if there'd been time.
Then perhaps he was grateful to you, Dr. Lawler, for saving his life.
I'm afraid he wasn't grateful enough to pay his fees. He let me think he was a pauper and couldn't pay.
You're getting paid now, Doc, with interest.
Dr. Lawler, did you know that there was to have been a sixth member of our party?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, yes, I did. I know his name, too. Peter Slavin. He was killed while I was in England 2.5 months ago. The papers were full of it. Why?
Don't you think it is a coincidence, Doctor, that you were in England at that time?
I was attending a medical conference.
Or a post-mortem.
Miss Fader!
Oh, there's no need to be upset. But it seems odd, that is all. It was greatly to your advantage that Peter Slavin should die. Was it not, Doctor?
Eight bells rang out as I climbed the companionway to the bridge for the four-hourly watch. But I knew that already the seeds of suspicion were sown in this passage of the Tangmar.